Good day, everyone, and welcome to today's TRAX Holdings Incorporated second quarter investor call. At this time, all participants are in listen-only mode. Later, you'll have the opportunity to ask questions during the question-and-answer session. You may register to ask a question at any time by pressing the star and one keys on your touch-tone phone. You may withdraw yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Please note, this call may be recorded. I'll be standing by if you should need any assistance. It's now my pleasure to turn the program over to Mr. Gene McConnell, CFO of TRAX Holdings.
Good afternoon. I'm Gene McConnell, CFO of TRAX Holdings, and I'd like to thank you for joining the second quarter fiscal 2018 TRAX conference call for the period ended March 31, 2018. TRAX President and CEO, Tim Harvey, will begin the call by providing an overview of the second quarter results. I will then follow Tim to provide more detail on our financials. Tim will come back and talk about our business strategy, outlook, and goals for the rest of 2018. We will end the call with a question and answer session. Before we talk about results, I'd like to remind everyone that certain statements in the call may be forward-looking in nature. These statements involving known, unknown risk, uncertainties, other factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from those expressed or implied in our forward-looking statements. For caveats about our forward-looking statements and risk factors, please see our MD&A for the year ended September 30th, 2017, which can be found on our company profile at sedar.com. I'd now like to pass the call over to TRAX President and CEO, Tim Harvey. Tim?
Thank you, Gene. Good afternoon. Thank you for joining TRAX's fiscal second quarter 2018 conference call. For those of you who are new to the company, TRAX, based in Denver, Colorado, is an enterprise asset management company deploying predominantly SaaS-based solutions to large enterprises for the comprehensive tracking and management of physical assets. Our core platform is called Global Asset Management for Enterprises, or GAME. GAME is a suite of secure, hardware-agnostic asset management tools that can be deployed either on-premise or in the cloud. The comprehensive solution platform helps customers track, manage, utilize, and optimize their physical assets and delivers value by analyzing data from various sensor technologies used to tag these assets in order to drive efficiencies in security, labor, and business process for our customers. GAME is a flexible solution that meets the needs of numerous vertical and horizontal markets. It serves the needs of our currently targeted industries by offering support in really three areas: yard management, returnable asset tracking, and high-value asset tracking. There are other industries where we see opportunity and believe that our solution platform can be extended to support new industries without significant modification. Now, before moving on to our financial results, I'd like to provide everyone with a little insight into some of the operational highlights for the quarter, which illustrate how we are executing on what we call our land and expand strategy. During the second quarter, 2018, we added four major customers: a well-known U.S.-based leader in home appliance manufacturing, a leader in global power sports, Denso, a major player in the automotive industry, and an industry leader in the U.S. portable toilet rental services business with over 100 locations across the U.S. We try to give investors a sense of the size of these customers and the opportunity they represent, but we are often unable to announce the names of many customers since we have contractual obligations that prevent us from doing so. We also have worked with existing customers to expand TRAX's presence throughout their organizations. In Q2, we announced that a leading food producer expanded their commitment to TRAX for the deployment of our GAME solution for supply chain management throughout their entire operation. Also in this quarter, a leading producer of beef, pork, and poultry expanded their TRAX yard management implementation to their ninth facility. And Carvana, one of the leading online used car retailers in the country, continued to expand their use of TRAX solutions platform across additional locations and additional business processes as well. So all the highlights noted above are an outcome of our focus on our key business strategies. And in Q2, we have continued to show execution on those strategies, which include One, a continued focus on operational efficiency. Two, a continued growth of our partner network. And three, successful execution of our land and expand strategy, as I just mentioned. And that land and expand strategy breaks down into three key areas. Number one, we expand within an industry or vertical by onboarding top-tier customers within a target industry. Two, we execute on the initial deployment and then expand that solution to numerous enterprise locations within that customer. And three, we develop this customer relationship and then expand our solution footprint to track additional asset classes and enable additional business processes and workflows in other areas of the customer's business. So with that, you can see how quickly the TrackX business model can continue to scale. Product-wise, we continue to optimize our game platform and announce the release of TrackX Mobile. We will continue to undertake product enhancements that are mostly in response to customer-driven feedback and result in paid requirements. By focusing on customer-driven needs, we at TrackX believe that the game platform will more rapidly expand throughout enterprises and contribute to our differentiation as a best-in-class asset tracking platform for companies around the world. So moving into a quick view of the financials, spend a minute on that. Q2 was a really strong quarter financially for the company as we saw strong revenue growth and a significant increase in gross margin, which led to a positive adjusted EBITDA for the quarter. Total revenues for the second quarter of fiscal 2018 grew 37% year over year to $1.8 million. Our recurring revenue grew 79% year over year to $537,000. The balance of our revenue consisted of hardware installation and perpetual licenses. Gross margin for the period increased to 67% and moved closer to our blended long-term target as software continues to become a larger portion of our revenue. At the end of the quarter, our cash balance stood about $670,000, which was up from $150,000 for the same quarter last year. We continue to manage this working capital and are comfortable currently with our balance sheet as we have more than $1.2 million in receivables that we expect to see flow into our coffers during the next few months. Our pipeline not only remains strong, but also contains new enterprise opportunities and additional expansion within our current customer base. So before I pass the call back to Gene to provide a more detailed review of the financials, I want to conclude by saying I am very pleased with our progress both operationally and financially this quarter. Q2 to us represents a great example of the earnings power of the company as we move towards a more software-focused future. Although on a quarter-over-quarter basis, investors should expect the percentage of hardware, software, and installation to fluctuate somewhat. Over the long term, we expect perpetual recurring revenue, software revenue, to become a larger percentage of revenue, ultimately driving positive operating leverage for the business. So that concludes my initial comments on the quarter, and I'll now pass the call back to Gene to go over the detailed financial results. So, Gene?
Thank you, Tim. Unless otherwise stated, all dollar amounts are in Canadian dollars. As Tim mentioned, total revenue for the second quarter 2018 was $1.8 million, a 37% increase from the $1.3 million in the same period last year, and a 77% increase from the first quarter of fiscal 2018. The second quarter's year-over-year total income increase, year-over-year revenue increase, was due to the growth of recurring and perpetual software revenues, which I'll discuss in more detail in a moment. Second quarter recurring revenue increased 79% over the second quarter 2017. To $537,000 from $300,000. The increase was due to two factors. One, TrackX signed contracts with new customers for initial deployments, and two, we expanded deployments within existing customers. Recurring revenue rose 24% compared to fiscal quarter 2018. We recognized $26,000 of perpetual license revenue in the second quarter compared to zero for both the year before and prior quarters. Perpetual revenue is lumpy, but some government agencies and organizations are not yet comfortable moving to the cloud. While we expect to continue to sell perpetual software licenses on a limited basis, we remain focused on our SaaS opportunities and will drive higher recurring revenues for the company. Hardware revenue for the second quarter decreased 46% year over year to $477,000. We note that the first and second quarters of fiscal 2017 benefited from a one-time hardware purchase from a large customer, which is why we saw the decrease in hardware revenue in the second quarter of fiscal 2018. Over time, we anticipate that hardware will become a smaller percentage of our overall revenue, but still expect some spikes in revenue as we onboard new enterprise accounts.
Hardware revenue.
Spikes in hardware revenue, excuse me, as we onboard new customer accounts. This is a leading indicator of future recurring revenue that will be growing for the company. Gross revenue was 67% for the 3 months ended March 31, 2018, and compared to 34% in the same period last year and 42% in the prior quarter. The increase in gross revenue was due to a higher percentage of our revenue coming from software combined with a reduction in hardware sales. Operating expenses were $1.4 million for the second quarter 2018 compared to $1.5 million operating expenses in the quarter for second quarter into 2017. We've continued to consolidate resources acquired through the Brotec acquisition. In addition, we have released new features and functions within game. We've been able to shift resources from software development to customer implementation and delivery services. We also have made increased resources in sales, marketing, and partner development, which we expect to drive incremental revenue in the future. TrackX ended the quarter with $123,000 net loss compared to $1,036,000 net loss in the second quarter for 2017. Adjusted EBITDA for the second quarter, however, was a positive $189,000 versus a $886,000 loss in the same period last year. This is a very significant mark in the company's history as it's our first positive adjusted EBITDA quarter. The company ended the quarter with $670,000 in cash and cash equivalents, down from $900,000 that we disclosed on our first quarter call, but up from $150,000 that we reported at the end of March 2017. Our accounts receivable balance is in excess of $1.2 million as of March 31, 2018, an increase of $618,000 from December 31, 2017. The increase in accounts receivable resulted from increases in revenues in the second quarter and have terms of less than 60 days. This concludes my comments on Q2 financial results. I would like to now pass the call back to Tim.
Thank you, Gene. To conclude the call, I'd like to spend a few minutes and talk about our go-forward strategy, our outlook, and provide a little more detail around how we see the business developing over the longer term. So going forward, TrackX will continue to evolve our products, strengthen our team, and streamline our operation. Over the upcoming quarters, we plan to continue to expand our sales and marketing personnel and dedicate more resources to focus on customer relationship and success management, consistent with our land and expand strategy. TrackX anticipates adding new enterprise customers and expanding our solution footprint to additional locations and asset classes within our existing customers. Excuse me. This is also consistent with our land and expand strategy. To support these accounts, we will continue to enhance our delivery and support programs and offerings. We will continue to make improvements in our ability to sell, operate, leverage, integrate, and deliver what we call solid on customer opportunities and implementations. We will focus on a more efficient and repeatable implementation and timely transition of implementations to our support program. We will also enhance our customer success program, ensuring customer satisfaction and the realization of the many expansion opportunities that exist within our current customers. We are also formalizing a customer advisory board. This has been well received by our customers and will provide TrackX with tremendous insight into our company's respective priorities and industry opportunities with respect to asset tracking. This will help TrackX gain valuable feedback from our customers to identify, prioritize, and develop ongoing product features and innovations, delivering even more value to our customers over time. TrackX's sales team continues to focus on high-value, returnable, and supply chain solutions. We continue to see strong growth in the number of inbound leads, and while these alone represent a significant opportunity for the future growth, future revenue growth, I think TrackX is now developing an outbound marketing strategy targeting specific industries within which TrackX has strong industry knowledge, successful implementations, and has delivered proven value. Again, this is consistent with our land and expand strategy to not only expand our solution footprint within the enterprise, but across their industries. TrackX will continue to expand our partner network in addition to this. Partners will exist in at least one of three categories. One, they'll be hardware partners. Two, they'll be installation partners. Or three, they'll be reseller partners. Let me spend a minute and explain each of those. Hardware partners are hardware companies recognizing that hardware is so often commoditized, and while it's an important component of an overall solution, it's insufficient by itself to deliver value. Their customers are seeking solutions, and therefore the hardware companies are seeking partnerships with solution companies like TrackX that can deliver real value to their customers through solutions. Installation partners, number two, they will collaborate with TrackX to deliver implementation and delivery services in support of TrackX customer engagements and deployment opportunities. As these partners become even more familiar with TrackX solutions, their geographical breadth and service capacity will extend TrackX's ability to deploy more implementations simultaneously. And three, reseller partners. Reseller partners are typically represented by companies that offer complementary solutions to track enterprise asset management solutions, perhaps in a different industry, perhaps in a different geography, or perhaps to solve a different business problem. These partners will receive TrackX training and certification in the full TrackX solution suite before being able to resell TrackX products. So we expect to see more of these partners emerge and more opportunities within these partners over subsequent quarters. So we are really excited about where we have come from and where we are headed. I think it's only fair that I express my sincere thanks to the whole team at TrackX for all the hard work they've done in Q2 to get us to where we are today. I look forward to updating you on future conference calls and would like to thank you all again for participating in our Q2 fiscal 2018 call. I would now like to hand it over to the operator and open up the call for questions. Operator?
Thank you. Thank you. At this time, I would like to ask those that would like to ask a question to please press star 1 on your touchtone phone. At this time, that is star 1 now on your touchtone telephone. One moment while we queue for questions. And we have a question from Pardeep Sangha of Haywood Securities. Your line is open.
Hi, thank you. Congratulations on achieving the positive adjusted EBITDA for the first time in the company's history. Can you give us some more clarity in terms of looking forward? Is the plan to sort of stay adjusted EBITDA positive? You expect it to stay there in terms of positive EBITDA, or can it bounce back and forth a little bit just because of the lumpiness that you have some of your revenue?
Yeah, I think it's a great question, Pardeep. Thank you. I think that we will continue to see lumpiness, and as Gene had mentioned, I believe that there's some pretty significant accounts that we have in the pipeline that could result in lower margin hardware revenues on a quarterly basis. But again, I think if that was to happen and we anticipate things like that happening, then it's a great leading indicator into the fact that we will see a continued growth in recurring. So you know, we're excited about, again, very excited about where we're going.
Okay. These potential for some hardware lumpiness and some accounts that you have in your pipeline, are you anticipating closing any of these in the current quarter in Q3? I mean, can we expect this lumpiness to happen in Q3, or is it probably going to be in Q4 or Q1?
No, I think we can expect to close more enterprise opportunities in Q3 and Q4. And so I think that, again, hardware is the first thing that we need to get installed for the customer before we can deploy solutions and deliver services to allow our customers to receive value. So as we continue to grow more partnership opportunities and more strength with our partners, which are also growing, Pardeep, I expect that you will continue to see an opportunity for us as they get more trained for us to potentially offload some of the services and some of the hardware and deals they're bringing to TrackX in order for us to focus on the more significant higher margin recurring revenue. And in the meantime, there's still going to be lumpiness because two things are happening. We're getting larger enterprise deals that are building out an entire infrastructure on which we can deploy more and more solutions, and that's why it's a leading indicator to future revenues, future recurring revenue. And two, we're continuing to train and onboard partners and leverage their customer networks so we can generate more concurrent opportunities.
Okay, and then similarly for the perpetual license kind of revenue line, you had some come up in this quarter. In your pipeline, do you see a lot of these perpetual license kind of opportunities, or is it mostly SaaS type revenues? I mean, what are you seeing in your pipeline? Are we expecting to see some more of the perpetual license in the coming quarters?
You know, it's what we see is that certain industries have a greater acceptance towards cloud-based or SaaS-based delivery than do others. And some of the license fees that we still get in terms of perpetual licenses come from expansion within existing accounts that we've had for a while that were on our perpetual licensing terms, and they're expanding under those same terms. Others are for government agencies and agencies closely tied to government that are more hesitant to deploy solutions in the cloud until we deploy in an on-premise environment. Now, what we do see happening and what we have seen happen in the past is in some cases those on-premise deployments can shift to SaaS over time.
Okay.
We are not pushing perpetual licensing from a sales perspective, Pardeep, nearly as much as we're pushing SaaS, but the one of the interesting differentiators that TrackX does have is the ability, proven ability, to deploy in either on-premise or in a cloud environment.
So are you expecting to land any perpetual license revenue in the next quarter?
No.
Okay. Is there a way that we can get a sense of kind of your rollout schedules? I mean, you, like, for example, you've got like, you know, you in this the large food industry, you've got like 9 locations in that you've already rolled out. You got a lot more coming. And then in this, if you look at 7 of the 14 locations in a large insurance company, I'm trying to get a sense of like how many locations are out there that you've basically got contracted, I guess, or expanding into, or visibility into. Like, is there any way that we can kind of get a better sense of that?
I touched on this in the last call a little bit. The expansion opportunities within the accounts we currently have either under contract or near contract are pretty significant. I think on an average, what you'd see is that our initial implementation is about one-fifth of the opportunity that typically exists within an account for that solution, and about one-tenth of our average enterprise opportunity within those accounts. And in some cases, as the size of enterprise accounts continues to grow, that number could be even greater. But that's what we have seen to date.
Okay. That's it for me. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
And once again, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone. We'll move next to Keith Schaefer of Oil and Gas Investments Bulletin.
Tim, again, congrats on the quarter. In your MD&A, you had this line appear a couple different times. Quote, the company has secured a number of new and existing customer contracts for revenue to be recognized in subsequent quarters. Is there any color on that? Is it like how many of those deals have been announced? How many are still ready to come out sometime in the next quarter or two? Is there any color you'd give the market on that statement that you put in two different times in your MD&A?
I think some of those, this is Gene, by the way. I think some of those rollouts we're talking about are, just as Pardeep was referring to, the expansion within current customers and rolling out to newer locations. And as we build out the first one, the next ones roll out a little bit quicker.
But I think...
Okay. Fair enough. Now, yeah, question number two here, on the SaaS side, Tim, we've talked about this for several quarters on that, the customer's payback on your product is very compelling, which is great to get your foot in the door, but there's also the idea of leaving some money on the table. Now, SaaS revenue is way up, which is awesome. Now, how much of that is more clients and how much of that is a bit better pricing for us in kind of having the client recognize our value?
A lot of the revenue increase in Q2 from a software perspective was largely due because customers are recognizing the value. So a lot of it came from expansion of existing accounts, and it came from expansion of an opportunity and ongoing deployments within a large insurance provider.
Right, so a bit of both is kind of what I heard.
Yes, correct.
Okay, and so last question here is the staff. Our G&A stayed very constant for a nice big jump in revenues. I'm sure that means everybody's working really hard. What kind of revenue number do you want to have before you start to increase headcounts, and where would you do that? Would that be in sales? Would that be in software? Where do you see the greatest need right now?
I think in two areas, Keith. We see an opportunity to continue to expand the strength of our sales organization, and one of the key areas that we've targeted as a whole in the company is a much more aggressive marketing strategy for generating more leads directly to target markets and target industries where we already have proven solutions and we already have proven value. I think we've historically, as you and I have discussed in the past, we have been very opportunistic around inbound leads, and we have had a pretty full pipeline to go after. But as we continue to deliver standard value proposition, standard workflows, standard integration to specific customers in specific industries, the repeatability of the solution is really, really quite high, right? So now we want to target more companies in food services, more companies in returnable transport items, more companies in rental, in the rental business, more companies in the high-value asset tracking. We're looking at some ISO certifications that are going to create regulatory requirements for companies in the insurance business, for example, that have large fleets of data center assets or mobile assets. We'll continue to target more of those opportunities very specifically.
Okay, thanks, Tim.
And once again, press star 1 if you'd like to ask a question. One moment, please. And once again, that is star 1 if you'd like to ask a question. And, gentlemen, it appears that we have no further questions at this time.
Well, all right. I appreciate everybody's participation on our Q2 conference call. Again, look forward to speaking with you in the future as we continue to make more progress within TrackX. Thank you very much.